Good morning. God's word for us this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is God's word for us today. Please be seated.
Thanks, John. My name is Josh Heaven. I'm one of the pastors here at Grace, and we are going to continue in our series called Walking with Jesus, a life of spirit-empowered obedience. Before I do that, I just want to encourage you to examine how you are giving. We've talked about giving a couple times in the last few weeks, and we don't always talk about specific numbers. We usually reserve that for our member meetings, one of which we're having in a week here, like Jason said. But just over the last couple of months, giving at Grace has been down by almost 40%. And we know that there are lots of reasons for that. We know that sometimes you give to the church only when you can and you can't, or you haven't been able to the last couple of months. We also know that sometimes you do it when you remember and you just haven't remembered the last few months. And so we just want to encourage you to examine that. Think about how God is calling you to support Grace, and not just Grace, but in all of the ways that he's asked you to be generous and faithful with the resources he's given you. Take time to examine that. Now we actually have something harder to do. We have to address the issue of anxiety, but I think we can do it. I've got 39 minutes. You think we can do it in 39 minutes? We'll just knock it out of the park, and we'll never have to talk about it again. It'll be great. You guys on board for that? All right, let's try it. So we're going to talk about anxiety, but before we get there, let's remind ourselves where the book of Matthew has brought us, where this sermon series has brought us, and why Jesus says therefore in Matthew 6:25. So we start out in Matthew 4 with the arrival of the kingdom. Jesus shows up on the scene, his public ministry, first time he's presenting himself to the world as the Messiah, and he says the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, right? For the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn around, stop doing the things you've been doing, and pay attention. I'm here. I'm offering you something different. And then he goes on to tell people what it looks like to be a citizen in the kingdom of heaven. He talks about people who are poor in spirit. He talks about people who are meek. He talks about people who mourn. The kind of people who are citizens of the kingdom do not look like the kind of people who are citizens of the rest of the world, other kingdoms in the world. They look different. More than that, they act different. Righteousness in the kingdom of God is practiced in certain ways, and Jesus lays all those out. He says, when you pray, do it this way. When you fast, do it this way. When you're generous, do it this way. If you're going to be a citizen in my kingdom, you're going to look different than the other citizens of other kingdoms. And so all of that is laid out for us, and he says, therefore, in Matthew 6:25, therefore, do not be anxious about your life. So if you have repented and believe that Jesus is who he says he is, if you have accepted that and you're ready to be a citizen of his kingdom and practice righteousness in the way that he says you should practice righteousness, therefore, you should not be anxious about your life. And he qualifies life, right? He says about food, about clothing, about how long you'll live or how you'll live. Not even about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about that. You might be thinking, well, my list is longer, so let's go to your list. Don't be anxious about health or school or jobs or spouse or kids or wealth or poverty or politics or any of those things. Not even about anxiety. Who's anxious about anxiety? That's a real thing. It is, right? It is a real thing. Don't even be anxious about that. That fits under all of life, by the way. But we are. We are anxious about many of these things and many more. Right? And depending on your age and station in life, you might have specific anxieties that are just for today. They just showed up unwelcomed on your doorstep last week, and now you're anxious about new things. Or maybe you've been anxious about the same thing for many, many years. Regardless of where you find yourself this morning, Jesus is aware that you are anxious. That is why he says don't be anxious, because he knows that it is a problem for us. So we're going to ask a couple questions this morning. We're going to present the remedy for anxiety. It will not be a surprise to you. I won't give it away, but it starts with a J and it ends with an Jesus, and we will get there by the end of the sermon. But we're going to answer these questions along the way. What is anxiety? Why are we so anxious? What is that remedy? And can I really stop being anxious? Because those are the kinds of questions we're asking. And the sermon is going to talk about the ways in which Jesus answers those questions, because he does answer those questions. As we get started, would you join me and just pray that the Lord would make this clear to us? Lord, you knew, and you know that we are anxious. You knew as you walked this earth with your disciples that they were anxious about many things. Lord, they wanted to see the restoration of the kingdom of Israel in their day. They wanted to see you enter Jerusalem, not on a donkey, but on a horse with an army. They wanted to see the Romans kicked out. They wanted to see their positions elevated and their families provided for. They wanted to see things that they didn't get to see in their lifetime. And we're the same way. Lord, we want to see so many things, so many good things happen to us and the people that we love. And we don't see those things, and it makes us worry. Lord, help us keep our minds focused on you. Not only are you the author and the perfecter of our faith, Lord, but you're a friend. You've called us friend. And you've made us like you, Lord. You call us to be a co-heir with you in the kingdom, to accept not only that you have saved us, but that we get to reign with you forever in eternity. So help us to wrap our heads around that, Lord, and see the good that you are offering us. Believe it. Open our eyes now so that we can see these wonderful things in your word, Jesus. I pray in your name. Amen. What is it? What is anxiety? When we talk about it, what do we mean? What is this thing that we all know about, we experience, and we feel? Let's put some definitions around it. Here's the way that Matthew records Jesus talking about it. He says, therefore, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life. And immediately Jesus breaks this down into some categories that we can start to wrap our heads around. What you will eat, what you will drink, about your body, what you will put on, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So anxiety absolutely has to do with physical needs, physical experiences. It is tied up in the body. Right, so we don't know necessarily what it's like for every single person. We all experience it differently, but we can say with at least some certainty, because Jesus spells it out this way, that it has to do with how we physically interact in the world, the things that we actually need. Right, everybody needs, these are basic needs. Nobody disagrees with that. These are basic needs, food, clothing, shelter, life and health. These are basic things that everybody is going to deal with, and anxiety attacks and frustrates and limits us right there, right? So yes, of course, we can have anxiety about other things. But at this level, this fundamental level, it is worry about life, about existence. This is how Jesus spells it out. Now, the world wants to talk about anxiety specifically in terms of you feeling bad and not always understanding why. And I think this morning we'll be able to see how we can get beyond that. But I don't want you to hear me say that you will always understand every reason, because you won't, right? It is messy. And we're going to talk about that a little bit too. So if you are in the camp that wants answers and you want a formula and you want specific things that you can do, understand that Jesus is going to give you some specific things that you can do to respond to this. But if you're in the place where you've been struggling with anxiety forever, or you feel like the struggle can't be defined, know that the Word of God also recognizes that that is real. So please don't hear me say that you just got to check off this list, you just got to do the right stuff and anxiety will go away, because not even Jesus is saying that. But he is saying that there are things that you can do, that anxiety doesn't just happen to you. The word that the Bible uses here to talk about being anxious, it is from the idea of having a divided mind, of being too in a place where you have two minds about something, where you're not fully committed to one thing or another. And so anxiety understood this way, it is easy to see how this is connected with our broken relationship with God. We are not fully invested in him, in following him. We are also invested in following us. Right? We are also invested in believing ourselves and having confidence in ourselves. And as a result, we don't trust him. And so this is absolutely a source, a producer, a cause of anxiety in us. And especially at that fundamental level. You may not have woken up this morning and thought, where am I going to get food? Or where am I going to get clothing? Right? God willing, you didn't wake up on the street this morning. So you didn't think about, where am I going to have shelter? But you might have woken up and thought, we don't have much food in the house. My clothes don't work the way they ought to. I'm not sure that we're going to have rent payment next month, right? Those are real anxieties. And in part, it's worse because we don't trust the one person we ought to trust. So again, the world is going to tell you that anxiety is something that's going to happen to you. You're completely without control. You're completely without control. You're going to suffer from it. And it might feel like you suffer because you failed to control yourself or your situations, but in fact, there's nothing you can do. It's just going to happen to you. And Scripture says, no, that's not quite right. It will happen. You won't be able to control it all the time, but you can respond. It's going to happen because there's sin. Right? If you go right back to the beginning of the story, right back to humanity's start, Adam and Eve break trust with God. God says, I will give you everything you need. All the food, all the shelter. In fact, you don't even need clothing. I'll take care of you. Just trust me. They're like, no, that's all right. We've got our own way. We're going to go this way. We know better than you. We think this tree that you told us not to eat, it's a good tree to eat from. And they break trust with God. And sin enters the world and also anxiety along with it. So when you think about anxiety, you think about being anxious, know that there is a connection to sin. And don't hear me say, every time you're anxious, you're sinning and you're actively running away from God specifically because you feel anxiety. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's there because we have a broken relationship with the God who made us. It is going to be hard to feel confident if you're not trusting God who made you. We can't control life, but we can trust that God controls everything. We can trust that he is who he says he is and he does what he says he does. But we won't if we keep trusting ourselves, or we keep trusting our bank account, or we keep trusting our job, or we keep trusting our political leaders, we keep trusting our spouse. When we trust anyone or anything more than we trust the Lord, we invite anxiety in, because now we're divided in mind. So that's what it is. It is that division. It is that running away from God at a fundamental level sometimes, even about food, clothing, and shelter, not believing that God will provide the things that he said he will provide, whatever it might be. But why is it so big? Well, Jesus goes on. He says, look at the birds. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Now, birds are not lazy, right? Anybody seen a lazy bird? They're active. They're busy, right? This does not say that birds don't do anything. What it says is that birds are not about the same things that we are about. They fundamentally, in their very makeup, they trust that God will provide. And it's not just birds, right? It's all creatures. You ever seen the snow high, right? Like 2-3 feet high, and you see like a deer wandering through the snow, and it is digging under the snow trying to find something to eat? You're like, how do those things survive? God helps them to survive. They would not otherwise. We do our best to kill them, right? With guns and with cars. We are trying hard. And God keeps them alive. We're so anxious because our minds are divided. We look at creation. We see this. We experience this. We see that the birds are not storing up in barns. There is no bird Walmart, right? Where they go and buy their bird groceries. It's not how it works. They are not storing up in barns, and yet God provides for them. We see that and we reject it. We're like, no, that doesn't apply to us. We're bigger. It doesn't make sense. But that's our logic, right? We're more complex. That provision doesn't apply to us. And then we look at our circumstances, specifically not getting what we want when we want, as proof that God doesn't provide. God never tells us, you will have what you need and it will look exactly like this. And here's what your bank account will say. And here's the kind of clothes you'll have. And here's the kind of house you will live in. He says, I will provide for you. And you're like, whoa, I don't really like that. That's not exactly what I desire. Lord, I desire something a little bit more concrete. I would like to know, right, that my investments are going to pay off in due time. And I would like to know that there's a guarantee that my kids won't get sick. And that my spouse won't be angry with me. And I would like to know all of these things. And God is saying, I will provide for you. Look at how I provide for the entire world. You don't keep it going. I keep it going. Trust me. Part of the reason we're anxious is because we have a scarcity mindset. Something Brooks has talked about a number of times. This idea that there is only so much. And if I don't get my piece, if I don't get, in fact, double or triple my piece so that I can have more when I want it, then I won't have what I need. And so I'm going to hoard. I'm going to gather to myself all that I can hold on to. Right? You see this in little kids at like a Christmas gathering or holiday gathering, right? And there's a plate of cookies out, and they're looking at their cousins, and they're looking at their uncles, and they're going, if I don't take 6 cookies... Uncle Bob is going to take 6 cookies, and I will not get the cookies that I desire. And so then they take 6 cookies. And they can't even eat them all, or if they do, they get sick, right? That is a scarcity mindset. And it's not just with food. It's not just with money. It's in all kinds of ways and places where we trust that we understand better than God does what kind of resources we need, how we need to hold on to them, how we need to hoard them. We think we know better than God. We lean on our own understanding. Scripture is very clear that we cannot do this. This will always result in harm to us and to others. If we're leaning on our own understanding, we are saying to the God of the universe who made us, who created everything, I know better than you. And yet that's what we do. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I've used it before. You've heard it before. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make straight your paths. Does not say, and you will have a vacation home, and you will have 3 extra vehicles, and you will be able to eat whatever you want, whenever you want. It just says, God will make your path straight. Isaiah 26 says, you keep the person in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You keep those people who trust in you in perfect peace, not because they have done all of the right stuff and they look like a perfect Christian, but just because they believe that you are who you say you are, God. But think about this. We are making this argument to ourselves every day. God, I trust you for salvation, but I don't really trust you as far as my body goes, or my bank account goes, or my home, or my family. That's patently ridiculous. Right? Would you trust the pilot of a plane to perform the landing but not the flight? That's how we treat Jesus. I want your salvation. Save me when I die. Just leave me alone until then and let me do it because I know better than you. And then we get anxious because we know we can't do it better than God. We have experienced how successful we are at providing for ourselves. Even when we seem to have a run of success, even when we seem to do really well at work or with our family, then something like our health comes along, or a natural disaster takes out our home, or whatever it is, right? Something that helps us remember that we are beyond control. So we're anxious because we don't trust the God who saves us, not to actually care for us. Yes, to save our soul, but not to be Lord of our life, not on a daily basis. And then we wake up in the middle of the night and we remember that we can't do it, whatever it is. We can't do it. If there is a remedy, what is it? Well, Jesus says, look at the birds. Very helpful, Jesus. Thank you very much. Oh, you didn't like that one. Well, then look at the lilies. Oh, that's so much better. No, really do. Look at the birds. Look at the lilies. The created world, it is glorious, it is amazing, it has been amazing February weather in Iowa, amen? Amen. There has been an opportunity for you to be outside, I don't know if you took it, but there's been an opportunity for you to be outside, not die, and appreciate the world that God has made. Even if it's just sun, even if it's just air that is tolerable, right? Recognize that that is from a good God. That you are designed to live on this planet and that you can enjoy it and experience joy in it. And that is from the Lord. Consider God's work. Consider God's provision. You weren't at all involved in your own creation. Did you know that? Are you aware of that? You did not make you. Somebody else had to make you. And yet here you are, and you have not sustained yourself. We are miserably hopeless as infants, right? More than almost any other creature on the planet, we need people to care for us. And some of you did not have people care for you well. I know that's true. I know that many people who attend this church, right, some whom I know pretty well, were abused as children, were not raised in good homes. And yet God has brought you to this place today to hear, to know that he loves you, that he cares for you, that he has provided for you, that he wants to increase your security in him. But you have to trust him. So the remedy for anxiety, it's found in the Creator and his creation. He provides for the birds. He will provide for us. He does provide for us. He clothes the flowers. He'll clothe us. Every single garment that you can buy, right? Every Fashion Week creation, everything that is popular on TikTok, everything that is beautiful in the eyes of man is not beautiful when compared to the things that God has made. And yet that stuff dries up and we throw it in the fire. Right? God says, look at my creation. See how good I am. And then recognize that not only can we not serve God in money, but we can't serve God in security. Right? Money is just a placeholder there for anything that we would serve that is not God. And security is one of those things that we try to serve because we think that it will provide for us. But security, it's a feeling and it's fleeting. And we don't always know when we will feel secure. Sometimes we will feel secure when we have a certain amount of money. And then we'll look at our neighbor who has $1 or $2 more and we stop feeling secure. I don't know what your security idol is. I don't know if it's having all of your kids live close to home. I don't know if it's having that extra vehicle in case one of them dies. I don't know if it's a 401k. I don't know what it is, right? You all have different idols. We all have different idols when it comes to security. But it doesn't matter what the idol is. If it's not the Lord, you're not worshiping the Lord. You're a divided mind, and you're inviting anxiety in. Because you can't get and you can't keep the kind of security that God will provide. So the remedy is in trusting in the Lord. If we have a divided mind, if we lean on our own wisdom, and we have no faith in God, we'll experience the symptoms of anxiety. That's a given. So again, this is not a formula that you can follow. There's not magic words that you can say. That is not how Scripture leads and teaches us. But it is true that with sin, anxiety came into the world, and if you were divided in mind, you were inviting it into your life. We can't serve God in security, so every day we're going to have trouble. Jesus says that. He says, sufficient for each day is its own trouble. You will have trouble, Jesus said. But he also said, take heart, because I have overcome the world. All of it. All of the forces. If you are paying attention to the news ever, you know that there are many forces at work in the world that would seek to destroy. And Jesus says, I've overcome all of those things. Trust me. Trust me. God is in control every day. So if we don't want the symptoms of anxiety to grow, if we don't want that to be prevalent in our life, if we don't want to continue to feel more and more anxious, here's some things that we can do. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Those are the words that Jesus gives us. He says, consider the flowers, consider the birds, right? Recognize that I know how to take care. Know that I know how to provide. But then also you need to seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. So that means our mind has to be focused on him. We have to be dependent on his wisdom. We have to practice following him. In the same way that we practice all kinds of other things right now, right? We have to practice following Jesus. If any one of you were asked to compete in a doom scrolling competition right now, right? Where you just scrolled Facebook or whatever it was endlessly, you could win, all of you, right? You're really good at it. Practice trusting in the Lord. With the same energy, with the same fervor that you give to every other thing, start there and then practice following the Lord more and more, trusting in God more and more. Not to earn your salvation, right? This is not about earning your salvation. This is about what this sermon series is called, living a life of spirit-empowered obedience. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit of God to work in and through you so that you can look more and more like Jesus. Jesus trusts the Father perfectly. Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane right before his death, and he prays, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this in the same way we would pray that same prayer ourselves, because he is leading us and he's guiding us and he's showing us what it looks like to practice this faith and trust in God. It is not a problem to tell God, I am lost. In fact, Jesus does the same thing. He quotes Psalm 22 on the cross. If you want to read Psalm 22 this afternoon, I promise you it will be an encouragement to you to know that God himself says these things, I feel like you have abandoned me, Lord. And then Jesus also says in the garden, but not my will, yours be done, Lord. I'm going to trust you. So be willing to go to the Lord with every hard thing. Practice following the Lord in that way. When life does not make sense, when you don't have the relationship that you thought you would have at this point in your life, when you don't have the home or the job or even just the peace that you thought you ought to have, tell God about it, just like Jesus does. Pour out your heart, even to sweating drops of blood like Jesus does, but also trust him. Don't be divided in mind. Allow the Holy Spirit to help you to live as Jesus lived. So for the disciples, this looks a little different than us, right? Jesus' disciples get to walk alongside of him. They literally get to follow him. He's walking to one town and they're walking right behind him. He is going and he's healing certain people and he says, now you do the same thing. Or he's feeding certain people and he says, now you do the same thing. And so they're able to practice what he practices in a different way than we are. But we can still follow Jesus. We can still practice what he practiced. We just have to do it with each other. And here is the thing that makes this different. as a remedy for anxiety, this conversation, this word from the Lord, here's how it's different from every other word that you'll receive. You absolutely need the Lord, and you absolutely need each other. There are good therapists who will tell you that you can't do it alone, right? There are good therapists who will help you to seek out something above yourself, knowing that if you try to do it within your own strength, it won't be good. But there is a limit to what therapy can do. Even from Christian brothers and sisters, ultimately we need the Lord. We need God who does in fact do the things that he says he does every time, who's faithful every time. We need that. And then we need those who are trying to practice what he practices to walk alongside of us and to walk with them. So that's how it looks for us. So can I really stop being anxious? Here's the answer. Without Jesus, absolutely not at all. You cannot stop. You will be anxious until you die. Because you'll be divided in mind. Because you won't know how to take care of yourself. And that's, it's no shame on you. We can't take care of ourselves. Right? We like to think that we've improved since infancy, but we really haven't all that much. We are really just bigger babies. But with Jesus, we absolutely can find a remedy for anxiety. You guys have all heard the gospel if you've come to Grace, the good news that Jesus, both God and man, lived and died and rose again. And he did that so that we, who are sinners, could have eternal life with him. And that, if you think about it, is some strange stuff, right? It's kind of weird that a human being would die and rise again. That's weird. That a human being would be God and man. That's weird. That a guy who walked the earth over 2,000 years ago is alive today. All of it weird. You should call it what it is. And it also can be true. And if that is true, if God made the world like he said he did, and if he sent his son like he said he did, and if he died and rose again like he said he did, he is worth trusting. And Jesus says, I lay down my life for my sheep. That's us. While you're still sinners, I love you. That's us. We're still sinners. And I've given my life for you. And then if we have accepted him, we are no longer sinners. And so the reason that we can do this with Jesus is because he takes away that old life. He says, be born again if you're going to follow me. That's how it'll work. You will die to the old self and you'll be given a new life in Christ, unified with Christ, so that all of my righteousness, all of my strength, and the way that he trusts in the Lord, we can trust in the Lord. That's yours if you follow him. So with Jesus, absolutely. And without the body of Christ, you cannot find a remedy for anxiety that is good without the body of Christ. It won't go well. For a while, on your own, you and Jesus, it might be okay, but Jesus designed you to be with other people. Do you know this? Not just anyone, right? But with other people. You guys, how long did the biblical story last before God said it is not good for man to be alone? How long? Testing your Bible knowledge here. Two chapters. Two chapters in Genesis before God says, it's not good for man to be alone. That's how long we lasted, guys. Right? God's like, this isn't going to work. He knows that we need community. He made us to be in community. If we are not in community, it will lend itself to anxiety. Proverbs says that the person who secludes themselves breaks out against all sense. The person who says, nobody will understand me, nobody gets what I'm going through, I just need to remove myself, that is like breaking out against all sense and saying, nope, that doesn't make sense. My own way is better than truth. So we need each other. And if we have Jesus and if we are working and walking alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ, absolutely, you can find a remedy for anxiety. So when I started, I said that it is possible that you will hear this and you will be looking for some specific things that you can do. So here's some specific things that you can do, right? Look at the birds. Look at the lilies. Look at the created world. Believe that God is who he says he is. Have a focused mind, a mind focused on God. Trusting in the Lord, not trusting in yourself. How do you know? How do you know when you're trusting in yourself and not the Lord? Ask yourself, is this something I want to do or something God wants me to do? And if you don't know the answer to that question, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of those things will be added to you. Seek it. How do you seek the kingdom of God? Come here on Sunday. Keep coming. Right? And ask these questions and talk to your brothers and sisters and read the word of God. Seek first the kingdom. Those are some specific things that you can do. If you are in the place, however, where you are feeling like anxiety is just happening to you and you try to focus on the Lord, you try to have a single mind and still you feel anxious and you're anxious about anxiety and you're anxious about all kinds of things, please hear me say that without Jesus, that will continue, and without the body of Christ, that will continue. I don't know about your home, but in my home, it is not uncommon for us to end up in a place at some point in the day where 4 out of 5 people in the room are on a phone. Right? I am guilty of this as well. We will all be sharing the same physical space, but we will be millions of miles away from each other. You guys experience this? For those of you who have 2 people in your home, right? It's just husband and wife at this point, or it's just 1 or 2 of you in your home. It can feel super alienating when you are engaged in something but not each other. If you feel anxious, know that there is a division of mind and know that it is not being helped by secluding yourself. Sometimes we seclude ourselves by running and hiding and locking the door. Sometimes we seclude ourselves by just putting something in front of our face. It contributes to your anxiety. Not to mention all of the things that you're looking at, right? Not to mention all of the ways in which the thing that you're scrolling through is inviting you to be anxious about politics and about fashion and about body image and about everything else. Forget about that. Just the very simple fact of putting something in front of your face so you can't see the person across the room. With Jesus and alongside your brothers and sisters in Christ, you can absolutely find a remedy for anxiety. I hope that you have heard this word not as an accusation this morning, but as an offering. Something that you can hold on to. Because the last thing that we want to do, that I want to do, is to make you more anxious. But hear Jesus offering himself and offering hope. When you focus your mind on him, when you walk with your brothers and sisters, you can have relief from this feeling of worry and doubt and fear. You can have hope. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, you are good. You are. And we don't trust it. The birds are literally flying around our heads and we don't pay attention to them. And the flowers grow in the ditches and we ignore them. Lord, help us to consider your creation for what it is, a testimony to your faithfulness, your goodness, and your provision. Lord Jesus, we're so worried about so many things, and we can't do anything. We know that we can't do anything. We've experienced that futility. But we're here. We're alive. You've kept us alive, Lord. You keep the birds alive. You keep the flowers alive. Help us to see that and believe what you say is true, that you loved us and you gave your life up for us. And then you took it up again and you offer us salvation and also redemption, Lord. That you would redeem us and make us whole and new along with the rest of creation, Lord. That you would make a home for us, that we could live with you forever, where there's no more death or pain or tears. Help us to believe that today. I pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. I'm going to read to you this morning from 1 Thessalonians. Starting in verse 15 of chapter 5. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good and to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. And now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and whole soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it.